Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our Gospel reading from the 10th chapter of St. John, with an emphasis on these words. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. The famous philosopher and theologian John Hick once wrote that it follows from a variety of revelatory experiences throughout the world that the different encounters with the transcendent in the different religious traditions may all be encounters with one infinite reality, though with partially different and overlapping aspects of that reality. Now, summarized in terms that are more palatable to our modern sensibilities, as well as the average character limit in your posts on Twitter, John Hick's hypothesis would read more like this. All religions are an equal path to God. Friends, there is a reason that Hick and the religious pluralists like him have become so popular in the contemporary school of religious thought. Their words are non-committal. Their words are easy to digest, despite the lengthy quote I just read to you. And, perhaps most importantly, they are inclusive. Anyone from agnostics to Shintoists to Muslims to contemporary Christians could all easily adopt this heartwarming narrative. They could all join hands and together sing Kumbaya. That is, of course, unless they take Jesus at his meaning from the famous Good Shepherd passage in John 10. The mere notion of religious pluralism would devoid John 10 of any of its comfort, and it would make Christ both a liar and an egomaniac. Now, making this kind of statement requires some clarification before we can get to the meat of today's gospel. And so, let us address a couple of uncomfortable thoughts that we may be having as we wrestle with what was just said. First, concerning the very idea of pluralism. Most, if not all, devotees of any major world religion would point out that there are major doctrinal and dogmatic issues that would make a meaningful pluralist rhetoric unviable. It's not just the mean, stuffy Christians, in other words, who are saying that we're right, you're wrong, nana-nana-boo-boo. No. Secondly, this does not mean that we who hold an orthodox subscription to the words of the Holy Scriptures are in any way demeaning the cultural context of any other world religion or their right to practice their beliefs. Insofar as those beliefs do not hinder the physical well-being or the rights of their neighbors to practice their own religious beliefs. Certainly, while we disagree, we do not hold any animosity toward those of different beliefs or practices. Third, concerning the Good Shepherd passage itself, and the gospel kernel for the rest of this sermon, that the hope and comfort derived from the image of Jesus as the shepherd of his sheep comes precisely from the doctrine derived from these words of Christ. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, this passage accomplishes two things in the hearts and minds of Jesus' disciples. First, it assures them that his words and promises are profitable for their salvation. Secondly, it warns them that there are other voices, those ones who Jesus calls thieves and robbers, who, by their own silky words and empty promises, lead people away from him to follow any number of worldly or religious traditions which do not proclaim salvation in Christ alone. This brings us back to our original quote from John Hick and the idea of religious pluralism. You see, if any religion could be the correct religion, and if Jesus is not the good shepherd but a good shepherd or one of many different shepherds, which all communicate some aspect of a central transcendent reality, then the Christian faith as we confess it in this congregation would be meaningless. And the hope that we take from that confession would be in vain. I say this to you today because oftentimes we, in our eagerness to befriend and to relate to our neighbors of different beliefs and cultures, allow the central tenet of this Christian religion to be watered down, if not outright ignored, in the name of inclusivity. When we allow this, Jesus' name is not rightly confessed. To those who have not heard, the promises that he makes in John chapter 10 are made bereft of all of their consolation. And so, at once, we do a disservice both to our neighbor and to ourselves. All of this heavy, law-driven discourse, which I'm hammering you with right now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is to this one simple end. Not that you despise or look down on people of different beliefs. Not that you stand accused of misrepresenting the Christian faith, though if you have, as I certainly have at times, I urge you to repent and receive your Lord's forgiveness. Instead, I want you to know this, that Christ is what he promises to be in John 10. He is your good shepherd. He calls you by name. You are his. And following his voice, you have life, and you have it abundantly. The promises of Jesus, the good shepherd, are most beautifully expressed in our hymn of the day, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Now here, saturated with rich imagery throughout, Henry Baker paraphrases the 23rd Psalm. He encompasses the entirety of Jesus' work for us as our good shepherd. The streams of living water, he references, remind us of the gift that we have in a holy baptism. The gathering of those who have strayed call to mind the words of the absolution. The table which he spreads before us, bestowing grace, is nothing short of his very body and blood which is offered to us in the Lord's Supper. However, the stanza which speaks most clearly to me the comfort of our good shepherd comes from verse 4, which again reads, "In death's dark veil, I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me." Though not explicitly sacramental like the verses surrounding it, verse 4 encapsulates the blessed assurance which is ours in the reception of the means of grace, that through the valley of the shadow of death, our Lord Jesus is our faithful friend, our constant companion, and our vigilant guide. Jesus, who as true God did not know death, entered into death to rescue us from its prison. Indeed, the verse immediately following today's gospel reading is the most famous of all the Good Shepherd passages, and it reads those familiar words, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Christ, who for your sake laid down his life, now comes to you in this life-giving promise of life to come. If your estimate of the first half of this sermon was a little heavy on the law for crying out loud, then friends, I am inclined to completely agree with you. But as our hymn for today says, the law of God is always proclaimed to reveal the work of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to us, his sheep. The rod and staff, that is, the law, they are a comfort to the Christian. Not because they give us instructions or the formula for eternal life, but because they show us that the only life we have is through Christ. This is what he means when he says, "I am the door." He does not say, "I am a door," or that "I am one of many doors." No, Christ has the monopoly on salvation. Not to lord it over us like some kind of greedy miser, but to distribute it freely to all who call on his name. This he does because mankind is quite frankly incapable of procuring his own redemption. And so we daily stray like sheep, and we daily need our Savior to set us back on the path which leads us to everlasting life. Each and every day, we hear the voices of strangers, the thieves and robbers who proclaim a hope and salvation contrary to what Jesus reveals to us in John 10. And just as often as we hear these voices, so do we face death. Death which seeks to snatch us away from the hand of our shepherd. Hear then, dear friends, the voice of your shepherd, as he calls you by his gospel, as he leads you gently by his law. Let his word and his word alone be your comfort and consolation in a world beset by sin and sickness and death. For Jesus Christ, the shepherd of his sheep, opens the door out of this dark veil into the verdant pastures he has prepared for us. His voice alone cries comfort to his people surrounded by danger, loneliness, quarantine, illness, and death. His rod and staff lead us on to abundant life, and so, with all his sheep, we follow his voice, and we join our voices in singing to him our glad reply. And so, through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.